Good morning, Hillsboro. I'm so glad to be here with you. I'm so glad to be in Oregon. Wow, this is my first time visiting in this state, in this city. Heard so much about Portland, and so glad that Jose invited me. I must tell you, he introduced me to some of his friends here in the city. I've been meeting quite a few pastors, and he's got the best friends. I'm just so blessed to be one of them. Thank you so much, and thank you for hosting me today. I want to share with you a bit more about the story of love Hanoi and loving your city and what God has done really in my life and how he has used that to bring transformation in my city. I'm going to frame it this morning in the story of love Hanoi, but before I do that, I want to introduce you to you my family. You already saw my wife on the screen, so glad you got to meet her. She's already back in Hanoi, but we were last week in Massachusetts for my youngest daughter's master's degree graduation, so she's there in the middle. My oldest daughter next to my wife with her husband, and then my son, he's 28, living in New Hampshire, my daughter in Pennsylvania. So all three of my kids grew up in Vietnam. Yesterday, it was 27 years that we moved there. So my oldest daughter was 3 years old, my son was one, and my youngest was born in Hanoi, and we've been there forever. The joke is we tried to leave three times, and God wouldn't let us leave, and by the third time, like, forget it, we're giving up, we're staying. So, but tremendous, tremendous changes, tremendous impact, tremendous things that we've seen God do in the capital city of Vietnam, which many of you might still have a memory of the war days, or you might have seen the movies or the TV shows. Some of the young people are like, oh, Vietnam is our vacation destination. So, it really is been a privilege to serve God in that capital city for so long and to see him at work. And I want to tell you a bit of the story. So 27 years ago, my wife and I, we had met and married in Youth with a Mission, YWAM, in Amsterdam. God called both of us before we met to go to close countries where no missionaries could go. And so using our professional skills, we were able to join a Christian organization that had social work projects in the capital of Vietnam, working with the government in this children's home in Hanoi City that housed foster kids and some of them true orphan children. And at that time, I couldn't imagine God using us in any which way if we worked with the government. And in fact, the government, they told us in our third year, they told us that the government leaders at the children's home, they were taught that after the war, when America pulled out, that America would come back and they would take over the country through social work and economics and education. And so they did not trust us whatsoever. And it's like for 3 years, we're like always in this barrier, this boundary, this, distance. And after 3 years, they finally trusted us as much to say that this is why they did not trust us when we got there. So it's takes a long time of investment and relationships and building trust, mutual understanding to really be able to be present and be of a Christian witness. So this was the why we came here in Hanoi at the first time. We did this for 3 years working there. But then in 2005, I became pastor of the Hanoi International Fellowship, which today we are on the 17th story, renting an office floor in a tower that is built by a Christian owner. And this is where Jose was, and many of the pre-events before the festival last Christmas were held in our church building. So that's how we do church, in an office building. Most other congregations are in homes in Hanoi. And then there's only one Protestant church building in the city of 10 million. Only one Protestant church building, a quarter this size. It seats about 200. So if you can imagine that in Hanoi, Vietnam, there's 0.0% Protestant Christians. In the region, along the Red River Delta, where Hanoi is located, it's 0.02%. And that's why I'm there, and that's why I want to stay there, and that's why I'm inviting you into this story. My church's mission, coming out of COVID, I don't know about you, we had a really tough time during COVID. We were in lockdown for 3 years, closed borders, but we came out and we're like, God's got to do something new. And he gave us a new vision and mission. Our mission is making Jesus known among the nations. As you could see in the news clip, we've gained so much favor with government. In fact, it was the government national religious affairs leader who told us before COVID, told us pastors when we were visiting with him, he said, I want you to proclaim the Christian message clearly and increase your missionary effort. I'm like, yes, I'll do that. So, because now they trust us more as Protestants, that we are not a threat, but that we actually can make a contribution to their society. In fact, he thanked me and my international congregation that my church members, they are doctors, they are ambassadors, they are teachers, they work in business. And he said, your members of your congregation from all over the world are contributing to society, and I want to thank you for it. That's the change that we've seen over the past 20-some years in Vietnam. Now coming out of COVID, we're like, okay, they're telling us to teach our Christian message clearly. We are going to make very clear what we are about. We are about making Jesus known in Hanoi and beyond. And that's by equipping every church member that everyone is helping someone to love God and to love others. Amen. So that's all of you are like what Jose said, all of you, God has a calling for you as well. Whether you are here in Hillsboro, whether you're working at Intel or Nike or in the local shop or in your local school, or whether you are in your neighborhood, God has a mission for you as well. And for some of you, perhaps this morning as I'm talking, God will speak to you to love a city somewhere else around the world. I want to frame my conversation in these five topics. I wrote a book based on my experience from the past 12 years when we started Love Hanoi, and I framed it this way. This is really my personal story. It's my journey that God has took me through for me to change and be willing to be open to work not only with the other churches but with government. And that's principles, posture, process, partner, and people. First of all, God did. A friend of mine, a missionary friend, gave me a book called A Theology as Big as the City, written by Ray Bakke. Actually, his university was established in Seattle, and I'm a graduate from Ray Bakke University. But it was his book that he walked from Genesis all the way to Revelation about what the Bible says about cities. And did you know, even though the story starts in the garden, the last chapter, where does it end? It ends in the New Jerusalem, in the city. A city so big that it could house trillions of people. Cities has always been part of God's design, and I never realized that. I always thought cities were bad or at least man-made. You know, I grew up in a countryside in Holland. I'm Dutch, and my dad, he would tell my mom, don't go to the city, it costs money. But then Amsterdam was like Sodom and Gomorrah of Holland. So liberal. If you think Portland is liberal, that's nothing. I feel like, oh, this is like the days I grew up in Holland feels like what you're experiencing here today. Very normal for me. But God really has a blueprint in the Bible about cities. And you can learn about this. And that gives you a vision for the city of what it could be if heaven comes to earth, if his will is done here as it is in heaven, if his name is glorified in our city. And I hope you have that kind of vision for Hillsboro, for Portland, for your city where you are living. And that's what God had been challenging me with when I was in Hanoi. I'm like, I never thought about Hanoi from a biblical perspective. And that changed my mind. There was a paradigm shift. And I learned that God's kingdom is far bigger than just one church or one denomination or one flavor of his expression in the church globally. That is his kingdom. And that part of this kingdom is this culture of shalom that started in the garden when God dwelled with humanity and had peaceful relations with God, with one another, with their environment. And this is what God is restoring through Jesus, not to save you to go to heaven, but for heaven to come and transform society even where we are today. And that he uses each one of us to change the place where we live, the space, that he has given us the mandate to manage all of it. And we're not doing a great job at that. Especially in our cities, our built environments. We have made a mess in our cities, many places in the world where cities are really the worst place to live. But I believe in God's design, that it should be one of the best places to live and to experience God's presence in our midst. And that's what the New Jerusalem vision is all about. So based on that theology, God challenged my leadership to start Love Hanoi 12 years ago. I had read a book by Eric Swanson, To Transform a City, and he talks about Colorado, how pastors went to the mayor and said, how can we love Boulder City? How can we help you with your social challenges? And the mayor was explaining the challenges, and the pastor said, okay, we're going to help you in the area of education. And I was reading that book, I wanted to throw it in the trash. I'm like, God, I'm in Hanoi, I'm not in America, you can't do this. Why do you let me read books from America? Honestly, I was really upset with God that I would read this book and thought, this is impossible, I'm in Hanoi. The pastors, we weren't meeting together, we weren't praying together, we weren't united, and we didn't have relationships with the city government. There's definitely no way that we, from such a small community, such a small Protestant community, could meet the mayor and ask how we could be of help. And why? We're so poor. The churches in Hanoi are really poor, and how can we be of any help to the mayor? Why would he want our help? That's really how I felt. But God challenged my church to start Love Hanoi. And so I'm a designer, so I designed the logo, printed on everything. And had workshops and conferences, just sharing the vision of what God's vision is for the city and challenging Christians to contribute, especially my church members who are in all these different domains in society, working there to have natural relationships. You know, my ambassadors meet with the president, vice president, the prime minister, all of the national leaders. The teachers meet with the future leaders of Vietnam. The nonprofit workers work with the poorest of the country, and the missionaries with unreached peoples. And I'm like, love your city. You know, the funniest thing is that missionaries who were living there actually weren't loving their city, me included, until God really challenged us, first with a paradigm shift, changing our mind. The Bible speaks about cities, part of God's design, and we ought to love our city where we live. Now, our church organized a Christmas concert in 2014 and 2013, and we did an auction to raise funds for a children's home that was managed and supported by Youth with a Mission. And so we had an auction in the lobby, and in the lobby we had a banner with the Love Hanoi logo. And so Vietnam Television had heard about this, came over and put up a news clip on the national news. And because it was, all they saw was the Love Hanoi banner, they called it the Love Hanoi Christmas Concert. And it was like, that's not what we called it, but that's what they called it. So within a year and a half, suddenly Love Hanoi was on national television. And they came over to our church service and interviewed our foreigners who are worshiping there. And they asked them, how do foreigners celebrate Christmas? And that made national news on TV. And that, until that time, we were always hiding. We were always being secretive about what we were doing. We didn't want to promote ourselves in public because we don't know. We had no legal standing in the country. We had no registration, no paperwork. We were just renting space. And then we got on TV because of Love Hanoi. And so in the process, one of the things I really had to wrestle with personally was my own very deep ingrained hesitation, to state it softly, to work with government and the police. So any backstory, and I just can't say too much, but I did not want to meet with the police. Let me say it that way, in Hanoi. But God had to do a real work in my heart to change my posture to be willing to work with whoever God wants me to partner with. Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Wouldn't it be great if every city the church is known for its love? Wouldn't that be great? Sadly, that's not the case. But this posture change is, it's like, you know, in the mid-1900s, churches in the suburbs would go to the city and they would do something for the city. And then go back, you know, to that church and like, yeah, we've done the city. We're reaching the city. We're taking the city. We're conquering the city for Christ. That's kind of like the mentality in the mid-1900s, 50s, 60s. But then that's not really the answer. Jesus didn't do that. He came to earth, conquered, went back. And he came and he was and dwelt with us. He lived in the city. He lived among the people. He was with them. And so being in the city, part of the city, with the city, not seeing yourself as separated from the city or from society, but to really be willing to work with the city. And so the year after, we had a Easter concert with the local church and with the Korean church and my international church. And because any event that takes place outside of our registered religious place, we have to get permission from at least 5 government offices. And so we had to get permission, and the Vietnamese pastor was smart enough to ask all these government officials to come and join our Easter concert. And we didn't expect them, but suddenly, as in the right bottom picture, you can see that next to the pastor on the left, on your right, is the chief of police. And next to him, the head of the security department that is managing religious institutions, that in the past this department was the department that would stop Christian services that were not registered, that would arrest some of my friends. And it's like, oh no, they're here. What are we going to do? Like, we were really nervous. But they came to our concert, and actually they loved it. And later on, a few months later, I met the chief of police. And this is the first time meeting, and you cannot believe it, how nervous I was to enter into the police headquarters. All these policemen in uniform, the chief of police that for so many years I had been avoiding, now we are shaking hands. But I remembered what I read in that book, that when you meet government officials, you ask, how can we love your city? And so every time I met government officials, this is what I would ask. I would ask, how can we love Hanoi? And then the next day, we were put into the news website of the security police, and they said, quoted me saying that we felt more secure in Hanoi than we would feel back in our home country, which is true. We felt so secure in Hanoi because of the presence of the police and the security that they provided. Then if we had raised my kids downtown Amsterdam or downtown New York City, no way. And so they loved that quote right there. So that made a good impression. A few months later, visited the chief police again at the headquarters. He gave us a tour of the theater that he was building at the police headquarters. And he said, you know, next Christmas, you can have your Christmas concert here. I'm like, yeah, right. Even if he would invite us, there's no Christian that would come to the police headquarters to celebrate Christmas. No way. It's like, so. But our church, we again had a Christmas concert raising funds for a charity. And again, the chief police came with the head of the department over religious security. And they attended the concert. And then, yes, he called a week later and invited us Christians to come and hold a Christmas concert at the police headquarters. So we all scrambled together, created a program, and here we are at the headquarters, and the Christians singing a song, and then the police cadets singing a song, and the Christians doing a performance, and the cadets are singing Ho Chi Minh, Light of Vietnam. And then we are the next singing Jesus, Light of the World. This was so hilarious. It was so funny. Like, both for them and for us, we were just like, wow, you know, could have never imagined. I think both sides, really, that was like the ice-breaking moment in relationships between the churches and the city government. And after that, the chief of police is here. We are with pastors and the police and the national security police all together. We got again reported in the national security police website, and they on their website said they praised the Protestant churches for their Love Hanoi campaign. I was like, wow, this is just 2.5 years into our campaign. I could have never imagined this. And so we went back the following year, early 2015, to meet the chief of police, and now he had been appointed the mayor of Hanoi. And I'm like, amazing. Here we are, pastors, all united, standing with the mayor of Hanoi, blessing him as he starts this new position in the city. And it's like, the things I thought was impossible, the thing I was upset with God, why he would let me read such a book, he made it happen. And honestly, I am just along for the ride. God opened all these doors. And this just continued to happen. It's a process. It's a long year process. It's not just an event. So Jose came and he saw the event. But I want to tell you, it's about process, a long-term commitment, investment into what God is doing. Jesus said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and that your Father in heaven might be glorified. And this may be true in your workplace. Maybe you do not see results of your witness in your workplace. Maybe you have a hard time even sharing about being a Christian or about your faith with your colleagues. I know in many contexts that can be even antagonistic, but believe me, in my context, that very much was antagonistic. But for over a long period of time, just your walk in Christ, your faithfulness, your commitment, your love, your self-sacrificing giving to others and sowing in other people's lives, caring, and even maybe at some point being able to pray for someone. It's a process. It's a long process and a long time commitment. And then see what God will do. This is called the community development process. And as you see at the end of the cycle, after you've done all the things to serve people and love people and care for people, you have a celebration. Now, many Christian leaders, they want the festival and they don't want the process. But I have learned, and I'm telling you, it's about the process. And then at the end of the process, they will give you the praise and they will give honor and glory to the Father. So in 2017, Franklin Graham's association, the BGEA, they called the pastors in Hanoi and at the end of 2016 and said, hey, the King of Thailand died. Our team in Bangkok needs to go somewhere. Can we hold a festival in Vietnam, in Hanoi, in 2017? And we had just the week before organized a very small event, although for us very big, 6,000 people, to celebrate 100-year anniversary of Evangelical Church in Vietnam. And coming off of that, we had said, oh, wow, this is amazing. Next year, let's do it bigger and better. And the next week, BGEA is calling and saying, can we hold a festival in Hanoi? And we're like, why not? We know the mayor. And so introduced Franklin Graham to the mayor, and the mayor immediately gave permission for this festival. Just amazing. And the pastors, the Vietnamese pastors, decided to call it the Love Hanoi Festival. That's what it says in Vietnamese, Yêu Hanoi, Love Hanoi. It was known as the Love Hanoi Festival. But when they presented the program to the secretary of the Communist Party leader, he's like, and there's worship and there's preaching. How are you loving Hanoi? You know, honestly, we as pastors, I'm a pastor, we are trained to run churches. And the best thing we can think about when we're outside is to have an outdoor church service. But they weren't buying it. They say, like, that sounds like a church service. Why are you calling it Love Hanoi? And in fact, so the pastors had to commit to do some social activities as a sign of loving Hanoi. So I was asked to chair the Love in Action Committee as a lead up to this festival. We did a training for leaders on how to do and plan for activities. We did blood drives and we had all kinds of outreaches. The drug rehab centers had a big event for family members of rehab centers. And in the process, I started to learn that when you surrender to God, when you love your city, when you seek a common agenda for the common good of your city, you'll be surprised who God will let you partner with. And because it's too big to do alone. You cannot, one church cannot transform a whole city. And as I said, we're 0.1% of a city of 10 million. We cannot transform a city, but we can partner together with others. Jesus prayed that we might be completely one so that the world may know that you have sent me and that I have loved them. This is what the unity among the churches can testify when we work together. When they see a united body loving their city, we are testifying that God loves them. And so this is how a city network works, and I'm so excited to be here in Portland. I know here, at least for 20 years, churches have been uniting to love Portland. I've been really wanting to come and visit, and also to meet with the Palau organization that has heavily invested in here, and invite them to join what we are doing in Vietnam as well. And so this is how all of us can work together for the benefit of the city so that God might be glorified. And we ended up working. This is like, you know, I keep being amazed at what God does. I got a phone call from the U.S. Embassy in Hanoi, and they said, would you mind to host a conference and a training for Celebrate Recovery? You know Celebrate Recovery? Do you have that here? And the Celebrate Recovery is like a AA, it's a recovery program redesigned by Saddleback. And so the lady on the phone from the U.S. Embassy said, I called Saddleback Church, asked them to send their trainers to Hanoi and we'll pay for it. Would you host them? And it's like, what? Of course. So we had the U.S. Embassy of all partners sponsor the training for Celebrate Recovery for the Christian drug rehab leaders in Vietnam, because the embassy recognized that the Christian drug rehab centers were the only ones really effective in keeping addicts off the street. And that's why they wanted to sponsor. Like, yes, of course, we will host that. And then we worked with a non-Christian group that was keeping Hanoi clean. And we cleaned up a really big dump site in an underserved community where they had no trash collection. So they were just dumping all their trash. And after that event, that community actually was able to keep that area clean. And then during COVID, in fact, they invited us and asked if we would sponsor to build a children's playground at the same location. Now, still, you know, we could not put our church logo on it. And we couldn't say Hanoi International Fellowship is sponsoring it. But we don't care. We just put the Love Hanoi logo on it. That's fine. And even though it's the logo is just on the placard, they still call me pastor. And they still respect that we have sponsored and did this project with them. So it's just amazing what you could do when you love your city and have no strings attached. And so that was all during the lead-up year of the festival. And then Franklin Graham came to this small indoor stadium with 6,000 inside, 13,000 outside, and over two nights had over 30,000 people attend. And during the two nights, we had 4,500 people at least coming forward to receive Christ. And this was the first time in the capital of Vietnam having a mass evangelistic event. And my wife and I were sitting in the bleachers. This is 2017. We had been there then 20 years. And we were just weeping. We had been plowing and plowing and sowing and seen so very little harvest and fruit until that moment when 4,500 people heard the gospel and came forward to receive Christ. And a number of them are in my church even today. That was a groundbreaking moment. And that's another principle that I learned, is it's all about people. God works through people. He works through you, through me, through all of us. He wants to use everyone. That people is what makes the movement, not just the leaders. Paul wrote to the Philippians, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. And just last year, the pastors in Hanoi asked me to say something during our Christmas dinner. And I'm like, you know, I put on the spot, what am I going to say? And I said, I quoted this, and I said, you know, I am so privileged that I'm part of this community of leaders, because each of them are practicing this. They all are deferring to one another and preferring the other's preference over themselves. That's not normal among denominational leaders. It's not normal. It was not the church culture in Vietnam. Many church splits had happened. Even during the time I was there, many denominations had split off in Ho Chi Minh City in the south. But in Hanoi, we've seen a very different story of God uniting the pastors. And I am just so privileged that, like I said, God kept us there and we gave up trying to leave, that I had been able to experience this unity of the church and to be able to be such a testimony in the city. You know, it does take different kinds of leaders to lead a movement, and that's just, but, you know, the best thing is to just to have the best people. And then one of the best things I did was recruit this this young woman I had recruited to help me manage Love Hanoi, and I asked her to do a research project. So she produced in 1 year leading into COVID, a 120-page full-color report on the 7 domains of society in Hanoi, and what the challenges are, what the churches are doing, and how we can be of impact in each of these domains of society in the future. And that is really just setting the ground for us to be engaged as a church in the city. So we continue to do events, and as was mentioned on the CBN World News, the chief of police since 2018 is hosting a Christmas dinner for the pastors. You know why? So in 2018, I asked, why are you doing this? And the policeman said, well, the police, the chief police, he wants to build unity among the pastors, because he sees the pastors are all doing their own thing. And he said, that's not very good. We should unite the pastors so that they are working together. I was like, this is the chief of police. Like, I have asked in all my global networks, where in the world is there a city where the police hosts a dinner for the pastors? I've heard that in some cities, the churches are hosting a dinner for the police. I don't know if you do that here in Portland. If you don't, that's a great and brilliant idea. But in Hanoi, the capital of Vietnam, of all places in the world, the police is hosting a dinner for the pastors to build unity among the churches. Isn't that amazing? It's like every year, it just doesn't get better. It just keeps on going. So now that post-COVID, we have learned from that festival with Franklin, you start off with a prayer, a summit, and then we organize a community serve day, and then we have a Christmas festival. So 2 years ago, Reed Saunders came, and Reed is from Salem here, and he's got his headquarters, part of the Palau Association. So 2 years ago, he came to Vietnam, and we had a Christmas festival and organized that in a park that's managed by one of my church members. And we were able to use the biggest park in Hanoi for free because my Malaysian corporate business owner manages that park and gave it to us for free. And so now we organized last year then the Community Serve Day for the first time. And then after that in December, I had the festival, and Jose was there to witness it. And this is just a drone shot, how big it was. And as it said in the news article, we had 14,000 people come last December to this Christmas festival. So my team, we love Hanoi, we organize all the booths and the activities, and so that people are there all day. And we organize the evangelistic organizations to share the gospel all day with people. And then at the end, with the program in the evening, over 1,000 people came forward in response to the gospel message. Now, it's not an event. All these people have friends. And some of them that were there, that were part of my church's relationships, they had been to the Alpha course, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe even three times. It's a process. But the event itself, the challenge, the call to respond to the invitation to believe in Jesus happened on that night, and over 1,000 came forward to receive Jesus. And as was shown in the video clip, the government officials are sitting on the front row and with their permission. You know, and I got to tell you, God uses geopolitics for his kingdom, for his glory. And you may not realize that. So in the U.S. still has quite an influence, and now Vietnam is courting the U.S. so that Vietnam can export more products. And when you go to a store here, most of your clothing is made in Vietnam. Your Samsung phones are made in Vietnam. Many other products made in Vietnam. And Vietnam wants to export more to the U.S. And so they need to increase their trade relationships, they need to improve their religious freedom and human rights record. And so they now are actually wanting Americans to come over. And so to have an American evangelist is helping them to improve their human rights record. And they ask me, would you go and tell the churches in the U.S. about the freedom of religion that we're experiencing in Hanoi? I'm like, I'm already doing that. I'd be happy to do that, because God has done an amazing work. And God really worked in central government, in my capital city in Vietnam. But he had to work first in my heart. He had to change my mind to see from Scripture that God has a special love for cities, a special design, that he is calling his churches to change their posture so that they are not against their city, against their society, against their government, but working for the common good, that they are seen as contributors to society, so that we can partner with whoever God chooses to be a blessing and to love the people all around us. And then to see God use that for transformation. It's just so exciting to have been part of that story. And so the last, coming this way in March, the week before Easter, the head of the department overseeing religious institution for their security, so to speak, said, let's clean up the street together. Why don't we clean up the street together? So they organized, and he said, well, not just the Protestants. Let's call all the other religions. Let's do this together. So we had an organizing meeting with the head of the Catholic churches, with the head of the Buddhist pagodas, with the head of Cao Dai and Baha'i religions, which are Vietnamese religions, with the head of the social activities for the Mormon church in Hanoi. It's like, so here, but the police said, is it okay if we don't put any religious logo on it? We'll just put the Love Hanoi logo on it. And they said, this is Pastor Jacob's idea. It's like, that wasn't my idea, but they blamed me for the idea. And he said, and his staff, they will organize it. So we ended up organizing this. And so at the top of the banner, you see the city police logo and the Love Hanoi logo and the religious leaders under this. And we're working together for the common good. And now suddenly I'm making friends with the Buddhist leader of the city. It's like, when you love your city, and when you genuinely express your love of Jesus to the people around you, just hold on to see what God will do in your life. And so whether that's in your workplace, maybe you're called to be the electrical engineer in Intel, or maybe you're the teacher in an underserved community here in the city, or maybe you're a student in college, in high school. You know, I had no idea what God was getting me into. When I was a teenager, he used a friend of mine that was so lost. He got onto drugs. He was an anarchist. You know, what you're experiencing here, I experienced in the 80s. It's kind of been there, done that. But God used that friend to call me and to break my heart and to be willing to surrender and say, Lord, use me. In the darkest places, let my light shine. And so that might be here in your hometown. But maybe I believe someone here, God would call you to go to a city you've never heard about, to be a light in a dark place, and to bring transformation through decades of faithfulness. Would you be willing to say yes to Jesus this morning? Maybe you've been wondering if God could really use you where you are. Maybe you hear my story and like, oh, that's nice in Hanoi, Vietnam, but in my workplace, I can't do that. Yes, you can. God can. God can through you. Amen? Let me pray. Father, I'm just so grateful for this church and for this partnership, Lord. Thank you for what you have done and are doing here in this community in Hillsboro, across the street from Intel, down the road from Nike, companies that influence the world, Lord. But you are using normal people like me, like everyone here in this room, to bring about your transformation, to shine your light, to demonstrate your love in this place, in this city. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue the work that you have started, that you would bring it to completion, that even though they may think about Portland going backwards, that through this church and the churches united, you are doing a new thing. And I pray that we would see kingdom transformation happening here as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.